Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth Show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Speaking of Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is episode number 5. I'm not sure if you can hear the noise in the background or not, but I happen to be recording from the beautiful island of St. Martin here in the Caribbean. And yes, those are crashing waves in the background. I'm at the Westin Resort, and my hotel room is right on the beach here, so it's really, really nice. And isn't this one of the reasons that we got into the speaking, publishing, info marketing business to create passive income so that we can have the freedom to live the life we want so that we can travel, we can take up our hobbies, spend time with our families, whatever it is for us. And that's what the Speaking of Wealth Show is all about, is creating those profits as passively as possible. Once we get that business in motion, it tends to remain in motion without our direct efforts. And that's what the Speaking of Wealth Show is for. So today we're going to go to a fairly technical topic. We're going to be talking about digital publishing with a high-level person from a company called McQuota, and this is pretty technical, and it's pretty good though. Sometimes we explore the more philosophical sides of the business, sometimes we explore the more technical sides of the business and everything in between, and that's what we'll be doing on the show today. So let's listen into the interview with Kim and learn more about digital publishing. Here we go. My pleasure to welcome Kim Matus from McQuota Group LLC with us today. We are going to talk about the best practices for online publishers and marketers. And if you have an internet-based business, one of the great things that makes it possible to enjoy financial freedom as well as time freedom is being an infopreneur and being an info publisher, publishing white papers, special reports, audio programs, video programs, online ebooks, etc., membership sales, things like that. There's just a lot of opportunity here. It's one of my favorite business models. And Kim is here to really talk to us about the best practices today. Kim, welcome.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you on. I have been very impressed with your company since I discovered it maybe, 10 months ago, I want to say. You guys have some very innovative things that you do. You really seem to drill down on what it takes to be a successful online publisher. And also, McQuota seems to do it more from the professional angle rather than the sort of guru infopreneur angle. It's more the sort of corporate angle. At least that's my impression. What are some of these best practices?
Sure. Well, over the last 5 years or so, since McQuota Group has been in business under this name, we have been consistently defining and refining a set of best practices, and we're now coming around to calling them content marketing best practice. We were always, is this about online publishing? Is it about online marketing? And the answer, of course, is it's about both. So right now, we're sitting on about 7 best practice strategies that we, again, are consistently refining. We usually start with editorial because online, of course, it's all about the content. And even if you aren't a traditional publisher, which is who we are used to working with, when it comes to the internet, it is all about content because people start with search and Google, of course, gives preference to content-based websites. So one of the strategies that we focus a lot on is editorial and how to leverage your content and your reputation.
Yeah, and you do that very well. And I know we'll talk during this interview about how you look for content, which is really requested highly in terms of keywords on the search engines, and then doesn't have a lot of content for it. And then you try to fill that void all the time. And you actually sort of build your white papers and special reports around that. Isn't that correct?
Right. That's exactly the case. So before we begin a new website launch, because the McQuota's business model really is, we've got the publishing division where we publish the daily newsletter. We do a live webinar every other week, which we charge for. They're paid webinars. We've got a membership website. We do live events, strictly for the publishing industry. Again, teaching our best practices. But sitting in the middle, we've also got a consulting division where Don works one-on-one with publishing clients from small to medium to larger sized organizations around the country and around the world, helping them figure out their digital strategy. And before we even sort of have any other discussion, the very, very first thing we do before we help them build a new website is to first determine what are the keywords that your market is Googling every day that your website should tie into. So in our view, you shouldn't even consider building a website in any market without first knowing exactly how many people every day are Googling the terms that you're trying to target. And then, again, it's not just about volume, so you don't want to just write about something because it's popular, because, of course, there's a lot of competition out there. So the sweet spot is to find keyword phrases that a lot of people are Googling, but not a lot of other websites are competing for. And there's a lot of free tools available right from Google that will help you with this process. And that's really the sort of core piece of our strategy, if you will.
When you talk about online publishing and content, maybe let's talk about the different sort of disciplines for best practice within that field, the different maybe verticals within that. So there's doing documents, whether they be ebooks, special reports, white papers, etc. There's membership sites where you're trying to get people to pay a subscription fee, and there are other things. Do you want to go into sort of each of those niches?
Sure, sure. It's interesting that you bring that up second, because that's actually second in our seven strategies. Number two is revenue strategy, so choosing the right business models. And, you know, for a lot of our clients that we work one-on-one with, that we have a retainer relationship with, they're coming to the table with existing products. So they might have magazines, they might have newsletters, books, events. And frankly, our system works best when you do have a way to monetize all of this effort that you're going to put into publishing free content. So we're giving, you know, the bigger piece is to give away the free content to attract the audience and then convert them to becoming a paid customer. And that can either be through the sale of a subscription to a magazine, a downloadable ebook that you're charging $20 for, or a paid membership website where you're charging a fee for annual access. So the revenue models certainly differ a lot depending on who you're talking to. And in this, you know, again, the beauty too is that this being in this content marketing world, it does allow you a chance to create products. So a lot of times what we're doing is we're helping our clients with product development. You know, when if there's a real need, again, in terms of from a search standpoint and a competitive standpoint, then there's a chance that you could develop a paid product out of that need, if that makes sense.
In terms of the subscription model, if you will, you want people to come and subscribe and get content where they have a password and get content for that website. What type of content sells the best? Are there any sort of price points that you recommend in that world?
Well, you know, again, I think it depends if it's B2B, B2C. Of course, on the B2B side, you've got a chance to charge more money for your content because that tends to be more in the need to have versus the nice to have. On the B2C side, when you're living in the nice to have environment, you can't necessarily get away with charging a lot for content, especially if there's a ton of free content out there already. So demand has to come into play there, and competition. I think it all comes back to that.
Are there certain industries that work better with the content marketing business than others? And do they have sort of certain price points around them? I mean, it's odd because it seems like the world is just full of free information nowadays. Yet some publishers really seem to pull off charging and many times charging pretty high prices for that information. It seems kind of like a disconnect, Kim. It's sort of both ways. It strikes me as though it's largely packaging and the way
right.
It's presented, the way the offer is presented.
Certainly that has a lot to do with it, and I think brand as well. I mean, I was just talking today to somebody about the whole free versus paid and, you know, why it works for some and why it doesn't. And, you know, I thought about consumerreports.org. You know, there's a company with a beautiful brand presence. I've always had a strong brand preference. And when it came to the internet and deciding what kind of online business model was going to work for them, they were lucky because it was very clear that they couldn't accept advertising. They were Consumer Reports. They didn't take advertising in their magazine. So when it came to the internet, they knew they wouldn't be able to get away with just giving it everything away for free. They had to monetize it. So they had to build a paid membership website straight out of the gate. And their pricing is really quite interesting. And they've sort of were challenged with this as well. You know, do you price the internet access lower than print because it's seemingly cheaper to produce? And I think now they're sitting at parity pricing where the print costs just as much as the online. And I think through our clients, we've seen the same thing. You shouldn't necessarily discount online because it's cheaper to produce. Parity pricing seems to work pretty well where the prices are pretty equal, no matter how it's getting delivered.
Yeah, that's interesting. And boy, that's music to a publisher's ears, because what that means is that you just have no sunk cost other than the research and the intellectual property development cost. But there's no printing, no shipping. It's just a much more cost-effective model. But would you say the pricing is at parity, except for maybe shipping and handling? Like with some of my products, I sell them for the same prices, but if they want the printed version or the physical version, I should say, it's shipping and handling is added to it.
Right.
Is that about the norm, or is it?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely.
All right. In terms of membership websites, kind of back to that for a moment, I see a lot of info marketers and online publishers going the really low-cost route nowadays, where they're selling things for $7. They're selling monthly memberships for $9.97, and I mean less than $10, not $997. It seems as though there's an awful lot of information out there nowadays. It's being sold rather cheaply, but the downside to the consumer is that it seems that all of this information is geared toward an upsell to the next thing rather than the real content.
Right.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's just part of the business. I mean, even at Makota, we recently made our membership product such an incredible deal that it's just, you just can't say no. And at first, I was reluctant to offer such an incredible deal because I didn't really know how it would impact us from a cost standpoint. But it's certainly getting the orders in, and I think that with a membership product, simplifying the offer is definitely the way to go, even if it means you're giving away more than you think that you should. I mean, make it a great deal for the customers. Make it so that they can't say no. And of course, is there an upsell behind it? Naturally. We charge $297 for Makota Pro. It's a phenomenal deal that includes live access to all of our upcoming live webinars, all on-demand access to all of our previous webinars. But do I really just want a big, large stable of Makota Pro subscribers? No, I'd like some percentage of those Makota Pro subscribers to be so impressed with our content and our offer that they are willing to come to the Makota Summit, which is our live event, which is much more expensive. And then from there, perhaps get Don in the building to do a one-on-one consulting. I mean, there's always an upsell. I think that's just part of our reality, right? We all need to eat. But if you just remain honest and, again, make the products sort of so valuable that the consumer just can't say no, I think that is a winning situation if you can manage to pull it off and not go broke from a cost standpoint.
Right. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you work in terms of sort of the find a need and fill it, if you will, looking at what people are searching for and looking at what they're finding or what they're able to find out there and sort of filling that need for people so that you really have a high demand for a product and there's not too many people filling it? That's a pretty good deal for any business person to be
Certainly.
In that situation. Want to talk about the methodology for doing that?
Sure, absolutely. And I love the order of this because we're going right into the third strategy that we label audience strategy. So it's attracting targeted website traffic. And how do you do that? You first, using a lot of free tools that are out there. I mean, the Google keyword tool is one of our favorites. And it is an AdWords tool, but you can use it to research organic traffic. So what the question that you're basically trying to answer is how many people every month are searching for this phrase? And let's use internet marketing for an example. If you put the term internet marketing into the Google keyword tool and ask it to return to you how many people search for that phrase every month, it'll give you a number. And that, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I know it's extremely high. That's a very, very competitive keyword phrase. So, you know, if you didn't think about competition and you just put that term in, you might say, oh, wow, 70,000 people a month are searching for internet marketing. That's something I should be writing about. Well, it's like, no, because then if you go and Google how many other publishers are competing for that phrase, you would see the number in the millions. And then you do the math on that, and it doesn't pan out. You don't want to target phrases that 100,000 people are searching for, but 10 million other publishers are competing for.
It's really a ratio is what you're saying. It's a ratio of number of people searching compared to number of providers. And so you want a favorable ratio where you may have only 10 people searching for that, but if you're the only provider, then all 10 of those people are going to beat a path to your door. Whereas if you have 100 million people searching for something and there's 200 million providing the content, that's not such a good ratio, is it?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the way that we find that competition is very simple. We go to Google.com, we go to the actual Google search engine, and we put the search phrase into quotes. And, you know, in the top right-hand corner of the screen, when it'll say, you know, results 1 through 10 of 96 million, that 96 million is the number that you're looking at. And the reason we put it into quotes is not because that's how people are searching, but we want Google to tell us how many other websites out there are using this phrase in that exact order. Because if you leave it with no quotes, then the number is going to be much larger because Google is going to also return results where somebody's using the word internet in one paragraph and marketing in the other paragraph. So by putting it in quotes, you're forcing Google to return results where the website is using that phrase in that exact order. So then it's about getting the ratio, as you said. The other beautiful thing about the Google keyword tool is if you put in a phrase like internet marketing, not only is it going to tell you how many people are searching for that phrase every month, but it's going to give you a bunch of related phrases like internet marketing strategy, internet marketing tips, internet marketing tools. And so it gives you a bunch of suggested phrases where you can find something more relevant, more specific. So it's all about the longer the phrase, the more specific the phrase, the better chance to rank on that.
The mechanics of doing that, again, go to Google, type your phrase in quotes, and then what? So you see how many websites are providing that content, those words in that exact order, and then what do you do?
Well, the first step is actually to go right to the Google Keyword Tool, and you can get there by Googling Google Keyword Tool. And again, it is part of the AdWords suite because Google wants to provide all this information so you can go spend money with their AdWords program, but we can use it from an organic perspective as well because it's just volume. So if you go to the Google Keyword Tool, you'll see a little box where you can enter in any term on the planet that you'd like to search for, and then it returns to you a bunch of results, and you want to select exact match. There's a couple of different match options, but you want to know exactly how many people search for that phrase in any given month. And then, as I mentioned, it gives you a bunch of related phrases. So internet marketing, now you've got data on all the related phrases as well. And once you have that data, you can actually download it off of the Google Keyword Tool, so now you're working in Excel. And once you have a list, and you can do this over and over, so you did it for internet marketing, let's say you also write about affiliate marketing. You could just do it all over again. And then once you have all that data in Excel and you decide on which terms look good, you know, which terms fit your content model, then you would go to the trouble to actually Google each of the individual phrases to see how competitive they are. Because that's the piece that's manual, that's a lot of work. That's the second step, so that you only go through the trouble of doing that once, you know, you've decided which phrases you think fit your content model. But essentially, it's about finding the volume first and then going after the competition, then going to see how competitive they are by putting the phrase into the Google search engine with the quotes around it and then just recording that number that shows up in the upper right-hand corner.
Now you know the supply and demand side of the equation, right?
Yep.
And then what?
Now it's about, well, there's a number of things. I mean, if you were doing this from scratch and you wanted to, you know, you don't have a website right now, or you know you desperately need to redesign your site, if you want to build a true publishing destination type website that people are actually going to find, you would go through this exercise for every one of what we call primary topics. So in our view, every blog that we have helped build has a set of topic pages. So on the Makota Daily site, I think you'll find like 20 different topics that we write about: designing media websites, email marketing, internet marketing strategy. We just added Kindle publishing, landing page optimization. So you go through this exercise to determine what your site essentially is about. So that's kind of the sort of step one. Then it's time to actually start targeting some of these phrases. So A, you know, you need to know the information so you know how to build your website properly. And then it's time to go in and target. So within each one of your topics, let's say back to the internet marketing example, say one of your topics was internet marketing. Sitting under that topic, you could have 150 related phrases, because you could decide that your site talks about, you know, as I mentioned earlier, internet marketing tips, internet marketing training, internet marketing expert. So once you decide to target, what we do at Makota is we're big believers in giving away free downloadable special reports in exchange for email address. Because again, you know, we build these sites, and it's lovely if your site can be found in Google and you get a lot of traffic, but how much of that traffic are you converting into email subscribers? Because email is usually where the ka-ching happens. That's where the money's going to be spent. So building your email subscriber file is, in our opinion, almost more important than having a lot of traffic to your site. Because if you don't have a big email list to market to, traffic only does you so good, right? So we use our free reports as a catalyst to build our email subscriber file. So back to the targeting, if we're going to pick a phrase to target, we're going to then write a free special report about it. So say we're really serious about targeting the phrase internet marketing strategy. We're going to go write a special report titled 10 Tips for Improving Your Internet Marketing Strategy. So we put the phrase that we're targeting right in the title of the free report, so that when somebody in the future is Googling this phrase that you've decided to target, they'll find your landing page, and on that landing page you're describing all the benefits of this free report, and then in order for the reader to access the free report, they've got to give you their email address. So you're building your email file at the same time that you're attracting that traffic from Google, if that makes sense. I know it's kind of a mouthful, but does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me take a brief pause. We'll be back in just a minute.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
There's a lot to do. The world has just become a complex place. It used to be about just opening your store and hanging out a shingle and people would come in and buy things. But really now it's not even that easy because the website is there and you may have traffic. And I think the nature of that traffic, Kim, which is why you very correctly said that the money is the email list. Because the nature of traffic is that it comes and goes and it's a single sort of hit and run visit a lot of times. And the email really allows you to constantly drip on people to make special offers, to make other offers, and eventually they hopefully become customers and they buy things and they spend real money. What else do you need to know about content? I mean, if someone is listening and they're interested in dog training or real estate investing, how to be a better public speaker, and that's what they teach people about, and say they've done consulting on any of those fields and maybe they do classes on it or they've got a background on it, whatever, but they want to really get into the publishing business and expand their reach and scalability. It's sort of like, how do you pick that small defined niche rather than the big broad term? Because the big broad term, like the example internet marketing you gave a few minutes ago, that's just too general, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, give us some suggestions about narrowing one's focus, because I can see people thinking, well, I'm an expert in dog training or I want to publish on that. But what do they do?
Well, the beautiful thing is, you know, that again, the first thing we would tell you to do is go play with the Google Keyword Tool, because it's free and it's going to give you great insight immediately almost into the kind of activity that's out there revolved around dog training. Like I'm on the site right now. I just put that in. Looks like there's about 201,000 people a month globally searching for dog training. And then underneath that, there's a bunch of related phrases like dog training tips and dog training schools and, you know, dog agility training, dog potty training. I mean, this gives you so much insight into the possibilities that are out there. And again, right now I'm just getting numbers and it drops dramatically. You know, dog training 201,000, dog training tips drops down to 12,000, and that's still a healthy number. I mean, in terms of what's a lot, I mean, if you're just starting out and you want to build a site revolved around dog training, I mean, that's a lot of activity. Again, but that's just volume. So, of course, the next step would be to then download this into Excel and then go play in the Google search engine to figure out what your competition looks like, how many other websites out there are also about dog training, who's in your market. That's one of the first things we like to tell publishers to do, is come up with an online market audit. And you do that by Googling the phrases you're thinking about targeting and see who's in your space. Are you going to be up against big, huge branded publishers? Are there entrepreneurial type of sites out there that you can partner with? You know, so it's doing a lot of research in advance, because this is a lot of work and none of it's easy. Even, you know, I hope I'm not making it sound easy, because it's a ton of work to do this. But it's certainly better to put the work in, you know, sort of correctly in advance versus going through all the trouble, getting funding, you know, staffing, building this business, and then you find that no one's visiting your site and, you know, it's just better to do all this research up front. It would be absolute for even for established publishers who've got products, who are already making money in the print world, if you will, and need to figure out their digital strategy. The first thing we do with them is sit down and do this exercise, because think about a general interest title like a Reader's Digest or something, or they write about everything. Well, when it comes to their website, they really need to go niche. They need to niche down into particular segments if they really want to, you know, get that traffic in. So it's all about the niche publisher, but you really do need to put the time in advance to do the research, to know what you're targeting. And then there's a lot of work after that as well, building your site so that it can actually receive the traffic from Google. I mean, the beauty about the WordPress and a lot of these post-Google CMSs is that they're...
What's a CMS?
WordPress is what we use.
Content management system, is that what you're saying?
What I was saying about WordPress is just that because it was built after Google
right.
was around, it's inherently a Google-friendly system.
And oh, okay. Good.
It makes your job easier, because it already knows about category pages and so many different plugins out there where you can make sure you get all the metadata that you need.
Now, Kim, by the way, what I was referring to is you said CMS, and I wasn't sure everybody knew that acronym.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
That's Content Management System, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Good. Thank you. Now, on WordPress, there are many different templates people can choose for WordPress. Are there certain templates that are more friendly than others, or do they all work just as well with Google and search engines?
Well, I'm not too much on the technical side, but I know for us, we, you know, WordPress is the base system, and then there's a bunch of plugins out there that we've sort of borrowed, and we also had to build a couple to make the system do what we need it to do from like a fulfillment standpoint, from an email management standpoint. I mean, we've got WordPress as our base, and it's tied into sort of a bunch of subsystems to get it to do what we need it to do.
So it's really incumbent on a publisher to spend a lot of time finding those niche words, or phrases, I should say, that are highly attractive, they're being searched a lot, but not many people are providing content. You've really got to do two different things to determine that, as you mentioned before, as far as I understand it. Someone should invent a site that just tells you the phrases that have the best ratio, right?
Right.
Is there such a thing, or no?
Not that we found. I mean,
that's the zillion-dollar idea right there. I just had it.
I know. There you go. You know, but I'm sure they exist out there. I'm sure someone's develop some kind of a program to do just that.
Isn't that, Kim, just what's so great about capitalism in a free market? It's like any desire, any idea, there's someone who thought of it and someone who's filling it. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Every day in the internet age, it just amazes me more and more. Every resource is at your fingertips. I mean, if you're listening and you didn't have the internet for part of your life, you really can't appreciate it enough. It's a pretty incredible tool. No question about it.
Makes our job, you know, harder in a sense.
And easier too, in a way. Yeah.
It's so clarifying. And the data is right there for you if you know how to seek it out.
Well, do you want to talk about the ebook revolution that's going on? And when I say ebook, I don't mean paper ebooks that are PDF files, although you're certainly welcome to talk about that because that's a big thing for publishers. But the Kindle revolution and the all the competitors, the Sony ebook reader and Barnes & Noble has their, what do they call that, the Q or something like that, I think. And all of these different things that are out there. I purchased my Kindle right away when it was the Kindle 2, the second version that really was a huge improvement. And I love it. It's a great tool, and I've published several of my books on the Kindle, but there's a lot of real mastery that comes with that, isn't there? That's a whole nother area of discipline, which has best practices and all sorts of stuff, right?
Certainly. We just actually did a webinar on it last week, and it was, you know, very well attended and certainly sparked a lot of interesting discussion. In my opinion, I think that we should focus on sort of the basics first. I don't think we would recommend that a publisher consider going on Kindle if their basic, you know, site architecture isn't set up and they don't have the basics of online publishing down, because, as you mentioned, it really is a whole other animal.
Right. And another thing, though, just to mention it, on Kindle and some of these other readers is blog publishing, which I think could be also another lucrative avenue. But again, that's a whole other specialty in and of itself. But it is an exciting time. It seems like the ebook reader, Kindle genre, is really going to catch this time. They've been trying to do it for years, but it seems like this time it's really, really working, and it's going to become the standard for our future, don't you think?
Sure, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. People go online to look for book reviews, and it's in terms of the reader itself. I mean, people are ultimately looking for that ease. You know, when you're going to travel and you're going on a business trip or anything, you know, you don't want to have to decide which books to carry or, you know, which magazines to carry. The reader is just going to make it, you know, that much easier for avid book readers to just have so many options right in one device.
It really is incredible. Just to kind of wrap all of this up, Kim, what would you like people to know in conclusion about the opportunities for online publishing? Any final advice you'd have?
Sure. I mean, I think I'd just wrap it back up to figuring out what the demand is out there. I mean, I think it's very clear that none of this really is easy, and it's not going to necessarily be an overnight success, but at least through what we've discovered, doing the keyword research in advance and having a true understanding of what people are searching for and who else is in your space online, I think can give you a great leverage point as you're starting out or just kind of hitting the reset button. That's the other beautiful thing about on the internet in today's day and age, that if it's not right today, I mean, there are steps you can take to make improvements. As you know, this is all constantly improving. So subscribe to some good email newsletters, listen to folks that have had success, and just try to copy smart and stay in touch with what your market is searching for and needing information on.
Excellent. Kim, we appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jason. Take care.
Copyright the Hartman Media Company. For publication rights and interviews, please email media@jasonhartman.com. This show offers very general information. Opinions of guests are their own. Nothing contained herein should be considered personalized, personal, financial, investment, legal, or tax advice. Every investor's strategy and goals are unique. You should consult with a licensed real estate broker or agent or other licensed investment, tax, and/or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed. Please call 714-820-4200 and visit www.jasonhartman.com for additional disclaimers, disclosures, and questions.